Gemara says that if a person doesn't wear tefillin, he's being mevatel four mitzvahs, because the mitzvah of tefillin appears in four different places, in Kadesh, Vayakim Yacha, Shema Bahayim Shamoa. The Rambam has a famous position which he formulates in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it gives you the 14 klolim, the 14 sharoshim, the guidelines to determine what deserves to be included in the mitzvahs, what should be counted as one mitzvah, what should be counted as many mitzvahs. Shabbos, you don't count Shabbos, Parshas Bereishis is one mitzvah, Parshas Noach another mitzvah, Parshas Lech Lech another mitzvah. Observing Shabbos is counted as one mitzvah. So the Rambam has 14 klolim, and in the ninth shoresh, one of the more famous ones, the ninth shoresh, he says that when you have a kefil mitzvah, the mitzvah is repeated many times in the Chumash, it only counts as one mitzvah. Aydi Gemara says it's four mitzvahs. It's repeated in the Chumash for emphasis, but in the minyan mitzvahs, you only count it as one mitzvah. However, the Rambam quotes the Mishnah Menachos that tefillin shel yad is not me'akev shel rosh, and shel rosh is not me'akev shel yad. L'chatchila, there is a seder, the Gemara learns that from the Chumash, l'chatchila is supposed to put on the shel yad, and only afterwards put on the shel rosh. But the Seder is not Miyakev, and the whole thing is not Miyakev. You have one without the other, so you put on the one that you have. So the Rambam says, whenever you have two mitzvahs that are not Miyakev, that's a dead giveaway that they're two separate mitzvahs. Lulav, the Mishnah says, the Dalim Minimam Miyakev, so that's an indication that that it's one mitzvah. But Tfilin Sheyad and Tfilin Sherosh are not Miyakev. So therefore, that's an indication that there are two distinct mitzvahs. This Rambam is in disagreement with the Halachas Gedolos, who preceded the Rambam, and who wrote the list of the Taryag mitzvahs and the Bahag. So he considers tefillin as one mitzvah. There is a discussion in the Gemara, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to read the Gemara, how many brachas do you recite when you put on tefillin? In the end of Maseches Brachas, the Gemara lists off all the various brachas that you say in the morning. That's a menachas. That's not part of the birchas hashachar. That's different. We say it in the middle. That's questionable why we do that. Not everybody does it, but that's the way it's printed in the regular sidur. So there, the Gemara and that daf, and the Gemara gives you the list of all of the over 10 birchas hashachar. So the Gemara talks about when you put on your tefillin. So you say a bracha, and if you talk to me, you're not supposed to talk in between shal yad and shal rosh. And if you talk in between shal yad and shal rosh, now you have to say an extra bracha. And the Gemara says that's really not right, because if you wouldn't talk, you would have covered the shal rosh with the same bracha that you said and shal yad. So you're really goring bracha shein atzricha. It's not a bracha levatala. Under the circumstances, since you talked, you have to say an extra bracha. But if you wouldn't have talked, you could have gotten away with one bracha. That's called the bracha shein etzricha. Bracha shein etzricha is only an isa derabbanan. That's an isa derabbanan, but it's not an isa deraisa. Bracha levatola is a machlekes, whether that's an isa derabbanan or an isa deraisa. Taisa's opinion, Mekama Mekama, says that bracha levatola, person says, Shekhrisham Tzarsonel, his sata betzitzis now, apropos to nothing. It's a nice praise. He praises the Baruch Shalom that he gave us the mitzvah of tzitzis, but the Chachamim were mistaken that you say the bracha unless you're putting on a talis, the Shas Maisi. You're not al kviyas mezuzah. He says the bracha kviyas mezuzah. He's not putting up a mezuzah. So it's a bracha levatola, it's osur. Tosfos says it's only an isa derabbanan. It's a beautiful blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not being mevaza, but it's an isa derabbanan. The Rambam, the Magen Avraham, says from the Rambam, it sounds like bracha levatola is an isa deraisa. But bracha shein tzricha for sure is only mederabbanan. So there's a famous Gemara in Perek Mashoch Melchama, in the end of Masechah Sota, has a lot of dinim of Melchama. So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim, how do you read pshat in the pasuk miho isha yorei v'racha leibav yelach v'yoshev lebeisa. So the Rambam just quotes whoever is the doctors and psychologists in the draft board should interview all of the candidates for the army to see if they can take war. He's going to fall to pieces when he's going to be in battle, so then it's ridiculous that we should draft him into the army, so you don't take him. So the Rambam only quotes that Pashup Shat. And the other Tanaim say, no, it means more than that. That's Pshuto Shal Mikra. In addition to Pshuto Shal Mikra, the other Tanaim say, Mihoisha Yare, Yare Ma'averish Abiyoda. If he's a Balaver, we don't take him into the army. That's what there's the famous story in the later years in the Valoj and the Yeshiva. They had a lot of maskilim who attended the yeshiva. They weren't accepted to universities. They really wanted to go to universities, but they wouldn't allow any Jews into the university. They said they went to the Valojan yeshiva, The Alec was in Baloja Yeshiva. He belonged like you belong in nuclear physics. Okay, maybe someone is in nuclear physics. Okay. So they used to put on a skit on Purim. So they were making fun of the Gemara, the way the Gemara visualizes the Jewish army. So they had a draft board, and they were interviewing all the candidates. And then they said, did you ever talk Lashon Hara, Kentucky? Did you ever do this? Did you ever do that? They fossiled everybody, and they were only left with three people in the army, the Vilna Gaon and the Shagas Aryeh and the Nitziv. Nitziv was the Rosh Yeshiva and Valojan Yeshiva. So everybody was rolling on laughter on the floor, and the Nitziv was sitting and watching, listening to the whole skit. And then when they finished, so he said, no. So what's the end of this kid? So they said, that's the end. Everybody was laughing, rolling on the floor. So he said, the end is we won the war. If you have religious soldiers, that's how it says in the Pasuk. So that's what, the Rambam doesn't paskin like this, but that's what two Tanoim are of the opinion that one who is a Yorim Averish Aviyada, Bal Averis, is not drafted into the army. But the Gemara shows that there's a Machlaikas Hatanoim. What if the Bal Averis is careful never to violate Averis their Isa? He's only in violation of Averis their Rabbanon. Do you kick him out of the army? So the Gemara says, an example, Hasoch ben Tfilo le Tfilo. He talks in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. So he's Garim Bracha Shein et Tzvicha. So Garim Bracha Shein et Tzvicha is only an Isa der Rabbanon. So that would be a Machlaikas Hatanoim. Would you accept him in the army because he doesn't violate any Yisurim Deraisa? Would you say no, you can't accept him because he violated the Yisurim Derabban? So what exactly is the Pshat in the Gemara? So what brachas do you say on Shal Yad? What do you say on Shal Rosh? When you do talk, when you don't talk? So it's a machlekes. So Rashi's opinion is that you only say Lahanich Tfilin on Shal Yad, and then that covers the Shal Rosh if you don't talk. If you talk in between, then you have to say a separate bracha on Shal Rosh. So why just say repeat the same bracha Lahanich on the Shal Rosh, varieties of spice of life, so it may as well say, Al Mitzvah's Twil on the Shal Rosh. That's how Rashi learns. And the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. This is in Menachos, and this is in Soita, the end of Soita, and it's in the end of Brachos. The main Tosfos is the end of Brachos. So the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says, no, on Shal Yad you say one bracha laniach, on Shal Rosh you say Al Mitzvah's Twil. And if you talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, then you have to say two brachas on the Shal Rosh, laniach and Al Mitzvah's. So that's the common practice. Most people follow the Rabbeinu Tam. But out of respect for Rashi, so if a person didn't talk, so he says, L'haniach tefillin, then he's about to pronounce Shal Rosh, he says, Amitzvah's tefillin. So according to Rashi, he just said a bracha l'batola. There was no need to say the bracha al mitzvah's tefillin, because he didn't talk. So according to Rashi, he just said a bracha l'batola. So Tosfos and Brachos quotes a Yerushalmi that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Whenever a person accidentally said a Brach Levatola, he should say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyonvod. He should offer a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in the Bracha you mention Shem Hashem. And that Shevach that you said, Al Mitzvah's Tefillin, wasn't acceptable. You weren't supposed to recite that Bracha. That was a Brach Levatola according to Rashi. You shouldn't have said that Bracha. So according to Rashi, he just said a bracha levatola. So we say the bracha, we don't paskin like Rashi, but out of respect for Rashi, so we say softly, Baruch Shem Kvay Malchus Aliyah Mavoy. We have other cases where we do that, that we don't really paskin like certain opinions, but out of respect for some of the Rishayim who express those opinions, so we don't want to publicly violate their opinion. Let's say, Tosfos has the dispute with the Halachas Gedolos, with the Bahag, whether a woman can read the Megillah to be Moitzi a man. So the Pashat, the Psak and Shulchan Aruch is that yes, a woman can read the Megillah to be Motzi a man. But since the Baal Halachas Gedolos writes that not so, so out of respect for the Bahag, we don't permit it. Now there are people who don't respect the Bahag. So they encourage Dafke Chutzpah to show that we know better than the Bahag. So we have Dafke women read the Megillah to be Motzi a man. Or we have other things like that also. The Bahag is of the opinion that if you miss one day at Sfiras HaEmor, so you can't continue to count. So we don't pass like the Bahag. We do continue to count. But out of respect for the Bahag, so we don't say a bracha, we leave that up. But really, we really don't pass like that. We pass like the Rav HaRishayim. Here also, this is the practice, that even though we pass in like Tosfos, we say the bracha, even if we would loisach, even if we didn't talk in between the Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, we still say the bracha, al mitzvah's tefillin on the Shal Rosh, but still, out of respect for Rashi, so we say Baruch Shem Kvay Malchus Aliyah Nalvoy. So some suggested that this machlekes Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, where they say one bracha on Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, two brachas, maybe it should depend on the shaila, whether it's one mitzvah, two mitzvahs. If it's one mitzvah, it makes sense that you should only say one bracha. If it's two mitzvahs, you should say two brachas. So the Rishonim already quotes from the Tosefta and Brachas that that's not really correct. Let's say a farmer is about to be mafrish bikurim, b'chubala karka, and then he has, his wife is baking challahs for Shabbos, he wants to be mafrish challah, then he wants to be mafrish truma, he has bushels of peiros that grew in Eretz Yisrael, wants to be mafrish truma, and then he has some ma'isa rishon, he wants to be mafrish ma'isa and a ma'isa, all four are called truma. Bikurim, the Mishnah says, we pass on halacha, that if a person eats macholas asuras, if he eats less than a kazayis, there's no malchus. That's a machloikas atanoim in the Mishnah in the end of Makkas. Masechus Makkas is not here today. So we usually have an expert on Makkas today. So the Mishnah in the end of Makkas has machloikas Reb Shimon and Achachamim. Reb Shimon's opinion, kol shuhula malchus. You get malchus even if you eat less than a kazayis, le'am kazayis, le'yin chattas balbad. But koris and fachatas, you need kazayis. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin in order to get malchus for eating ham, or for eating basa b'cholav, you have to eat a kazayis. What if you ate a half a kazayis of ham and a half a kazayis of basa b'cholav? They're two different isurim, so that's a machlokes hatanoim. We paskin any isurim it's tarkim zem zeh. You have to eat a full kazayis of ham if you're really dying to get malchus, so you have to eat a full kazayis of basa b'cholav. So the Mishnah has the following in Maseches Me'ilo. A person is not a kohen. He eats a quarter of a kazayis of bikurim, a quarter kazayis of challah, a quarter kazayis of truma, a quarter kazayis of maisem and amaisem. So the Mishnah says that's all shem echod, and it's mitzdarif yachad, and you get malchus. So the Tosefta says in Brachas, if the farmer is about to be mafrish bikurim, challah, truma gedoyla, maisem and amaisem, he says one bracha al afroshas truma, and it covers all the four mitzvahs. They're clearly four different mitzvahs. So you see, it means you're doing four mitzvahs that are unrelated to each other. Bikurim and Truma are totally unrelated, but it's all Shem Echot. It's all Truma, so the Brocha fits in by all four. So since the Nusach HaBrocha fits in on all four, even though they're clearly four distinct mitzvahs, you only say one Brocha. So really, the Pashto should really be like Rashi. You should only say one Brocha. So that's a Pella. How come most people follow the Rabbeinu Tam, that you say a separate Brocha Shol Yad, and a separate brocha on the Shal Rosh? Why? Even if they're two distinct mitzvahs, like the Rambam, like many Rishonim agree with the Rambam, Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, they're not ma'akvim zeh zeh. So that's a dead giveaway that they're two distinct mitzvahs, but why shouldn't one brocha cover both? And especially what's a pella is, what if you did talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh? So we follow the Rabbeinu Tam, that you say two brochas on the Shal Rosh. Or let's say a person doesn't have a Shal Yad. He's missing an arm, Cholil, or his arm is in such a big cast, he can't put on in any Shal Yad, not on the right arm, not on the left arm. He's only going to put on Shal Rosh. Are we passing? You say two brachas on Shal Rosh. Where do you find such a strange thing that you say two brachas on one mitzvah? We find it by Bris Mila. You say, the Moel says the bracha, Shekhar Hashem says ala Mila. Then the father says, Lachnis bebisu Shal Avraham Avin. And then you say a third bracha. Shekhidish, you did me betten. Why do you talk and say so many brachas? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe from the Bris Mila, maybe that can shed light on this Rabbi in time, why it makes sense to say two brachas. Yesterday we mentioned the Rambam in Hilchas Tfilin. The Rambam writes that when a person wears Tfilin, the Tfilin have an effect on him. He thinks differently, he acts differently, and he speaks differently. It elevates the level of Kedusha of the person. Rav Soloveitchik interpreted the Rambam that Tfilin is connected with Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah has more of an effect on the person. Even if he's not learning Torah all day long, but when he wears the tefillin, so the tefillin have an effect on him. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that there are different types of mitzvahs. Sometimes you shake a lulav, shake. So you shake a lulav, put on the lulav, the mitzvah is finished. Does the mitzvah leave an effect on you? Every mitzvah leaves a little effect. But the person doesn't have a nuchal Hashem. But when you perform a bris milah on the baby, he's a different baby now. A person who's an oral is not allowed to eat korbanos. An oral is not allowed to eat truma. Not allowed to eat korban pesel. Kol oral echelboy. There's a chaloshem on the gavra. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe that's what the Rabbeinu Tam understood by tefillin shel rosh. That you recite two brachas. One bracha, asher gedushan tzatzano laniach tefillin. It's a mitzvah to do the ma'isa anocha. Then al mitzvah's tefillin is a bracha on the chalos. The fact that the tefillin leaves an effect on a person that elevates his level of Kedusha, like by Bris Milo. That was his suggestion. The Abrocha Nachalois. Rabbi Natam is of the opinion that there's a machlek, is the Ramam, the Rabbi Natam, when you get married, when does the rabbi recite Birchas Harrison? Does he recite Birchas Harrison? Oivel Asiyosam? That's how the Ramam says, Kol HaMitzvus Kulam Avarach Aleim, Oivel Asiyosam. You have to say the bracha before you give the ring, before you say Hareya. And if you already did the mitzvah of getting married, the Rambam holds that it's a mitzvah to get married. It counts as one of the Daryag mitzvahs. The Rosh in the beginning of Ksubas disagrees with the Rambam. Says the mitzvah is pira berivya. That's only a heksha mitzvah. You buy a lulav in the store, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah, buying the lulav enables you to shake the lulav. You buy a pair of tefillin, that's not the mitzvah to buy it. So you're also, to get married, according to the Rosh, is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have the children, to raise the children. The Rambam says, no, there are two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah, Lisa, Isha, the Ksuba, the Kiddush, and one mitzvah, Lifras, Velivras, two different mitzvahs. So the Rambam understood that the Brichas, Erisin, is a Brichas on mitzvah. Shekarashana, the mitzvah, Isav, it's Ivana. Problem is, we don't say the Kadesh, so Isha, we say a long, long story, so it doesn't fully sound like a Brichas on mitzvah, but that's what the Rambam holds. And then the Rambam says, if he already gave the ring and he said Harayat, and you didn't say the Bracha before, is farfal, mashanase, kranase, it doesn't make sense to say that any brichas on mitzvah, lacharasios. That's the Rambam's opinion. And the Rabbeinu Tam holds bedavka faker, that you should bedavka recite brichas erisin after you do the mitzvah. Why? So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that the Rabbeinu Tam means to say that that's a bracha on the chalois. When you get married, now there's a chalois issues, they're married, so the bracha goes on the chalois, so it should be recited bedavka after the chalos text, like the same thing by the bris, so there's machlokes, the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam, whether the bracha ala milah is recited in advance of performing the ma'isa milah. What about the bracha lachnis b'risa shal Avram Avinu? Rabbi Natam's opinion is that bracha is recited la'achar ha'milah, not over la'siyosin, because that's a bracha on the chalos. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought maybe this is what the Rabbi Natam means over here, that you say two brachas on the shorosh. That the Shorosh has this unique feature, apparently, which the Shayah doesn't have, that the Shorosh leaves an effect on the person. So you say the Bracha, L'aniach Tfilin. If you didn't talk in between Shayah and Shorosh, so L'aniach on the Shayah goes on the Shorosh also. Then in addition to that, you want to say Bracha on the Chalois, the fact that wearing the Tfilin Shorosh leaves an effect on the person.
How does that work?
It's a question whether we should call it because it says Shekedishana b'mitzvah yisavitz ivonu. So it sounds like it's a birchas hamitzvah, but it's a birchas hamitzvah on a chalois as opposed to being a birchas hamitzvah on a ma'is hamitzvah. It's a little different from the normal birchas hamitzvah.
The Darkei Moshe that all mitzvahs
did
is
birchas
shevach
hodah,
so it couldn't be said.
What do you mean all mitzvahs did is shevach hodah?
The
Darkei Moshe, that he says we're not really going to see with Talis Katan, so we say Al Mitzvah Tzitzis. Because. Not familiar? Don't know. What exactly does it mean? Ukshartom Liosal Yadechon. So Tosus quotes that this was a machlokes between the Rabbi Natam and the Rabbi Eliyahu. Rabbi Natam said Ukshartom means Hiduk, to tighten the tefillin. Rabbi Eliyahu insisted that it doesn't mean hiduk. In Chumash, you can say hiduk, but the Gemara says kshira. So in Talmudic Hebrew, they should have said hiduk. So the Rabbi Eliyahu insisted that you have to tie the knot every day. What exactly does it mean? You have to untie the kesher shal yad every day. Untie the kesher and you make the kesher all over again. That's how many understood this Rabbi Eliyahu. And the Keren Oira, Rav Soloveitchik thought like the Keren Oira, it doesn't mean that you untie the Kesher Shal Yad, that you leave the Kesher Shal Yad, but when you do the Hiduk, you should make a knot, the Ritzua against the Ritzua, not to create a Kesher Shal Yad, not to make the Yud is there, but to make a Kesher in doing the Hiduk. So the Seder Adoris is a history book which was written in the 1700s, history of Tanoim and Amoraim. He has all the Tanoim and Amoraim listed alphabetically in all the Makuris and Shas, but they're quoted. Tries to give a little bit about their history. So in the Seder Adoris, he quotes from the Sefer Kabbalah, which is a non-reliable history book from earlier generations, that this dispute, the Rabbi Natam, the Rabbi Eliyahu, they made up, they're going to go to some Mekubal, and he's going to ask Moshe Rabbeinu. So they went to Paris, and they went to the Mekubal, and he brought back Moshe Rabbeinu from the dead, and he made up whatever he says goes. So they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, when you wrote the Kshatim Lo Sal Yadecha, what did you mean? So he said it means you have to tie a knot every day. So Rabbeinu Tam says the deal is off. I'm not going to listen to him. Tell him to go back to the dead. Lova Shemaini. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that that's apikursus to say like that. Moshe Rabbeinu is the, it's called Zichur Teres Moshe Avdi. The end of Malachi is called Teres Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is the balabos. Whatever he says is the final pshat in the pasuk. You ever write the dings up by Moshe Rabbeinu, the pilpul aleihem. But if that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's his final pshat. So you can't argue with him. Tell him, go back to the dead. We're not going to listen to you. So he said, the name of Rav Chaim, that that's ridiculous. He can't say such a thing. There is a... I remember years ago, my father had a sefer in his library. Somebody found a Ksav Yad by Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz of Pilpulim and Midrashim and every parsha. So I think he called it the Pharisee Yonasan or something like that, from Yonasan Eibishitz. So in addition to Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz on every parsha, this author wrote his own Shtikal Torah and another Medrash Pliya. So on Parshas Bereshit, he has the Pharisee Yonasan, then he has the Pharisee Tzvi, whatever his name was, something like that. Then on Parshas Noach, he has Tiferes Yonasan. So he was going around getting Haskomas on the Sefer, and the Sefer was being printed in Warsaw. So he told him to leave out the first 16 pages, the first 32 pages, whatever. He wants to put in Haskomas in the first four pages. So he went to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he writes this in his Sefer, and he asked him for a Haskoma on the Sefer. So Rav Chaim looked through it. So in one place, the author had a pilpul on a Medrash Pliya, that it was a machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. Was the machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid? Moshe Rabbeinu held like the Rambam and Paro held like the Ravid, something like that. So Rav Chaim said, I can't give a haskama, that's apikursus. What do you mean? The Rambam Paskin, is against Moshe Rabbeinu? It can't be, there is no such thing. So Rav Chaim said, I can't give you haskama, because only if you take out that vater. So he said, he doesn't know, could be that it's printed. So Rav Chaim gave him a haskama, on the condition that he takes out the Atar. He came back to Warsaw, so he says, it was printed, but he couldn't take it out. So he prints the Haskam, and he says, you should know that that piece is apikursus. Rav Chaim said that that piece is apikursus. That's how Rav Soloveitchik said. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. He has this, in the Yahrzeit Rasha that we were talking about yesterday, has this recurring theme, that when they repeated Nitan Torah in Eschatcha Halacha, when there was a takana of sitting Shiva from the days of Yosef, Yas Evel Shivas Yomim, when Yankov Avinu died, so Yosef observed of Elif for 7 days. So Yosef made a takana. At least before the days of Yosef, there was already takana of Shiva. It had to be renewed after Maimon HaSinai. Moshe Rabbeinu had to make, and once Moshe Rabbeinu made the takana, you don't need anybody else's advice. All the takanas made by Moshe Rabbeinu after Maimon HaSinai is Moshe Rabbeinu alone. No one else is entitled to an opinion, period. Before the takon of Kriyas HaTorah was Mevim Shebinim, that was Koyde Matan Torah. Koyde Matan Torah, so everyone else had an opinion. After Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was Mamakamai and Olive Koyse, and no one else had an opinion. But, yeah, so Lemaise, we don't follow this Rabbeinu Leo. We put on the Shalyad, we assume that it means Hiduk. Where exactly do you put on the Shalyad? So it's a funny machlokes Rashi in the Baal HaTorah. Rashi says you put on Shalyad over here, below the elbow. And we obviously do not follow Rashi, but he put on the Shal Yad over here. What he put on the Shal Rosh? So the Mishnah, the Pasuk says, Beinei Necha. So the Tzedukim used to put on Tefillin over here. The Karaim, the Tzedukim put on, and the Mishnah says, supposed to put on Beinei Necha means over here on top. And then you have to have, the Kesher should be in the back. Exactly where is in the back? So the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheta quotes the Machloikas. Some have the practice to put the Kesher Shorosh lower down below the skull, below the bone of the skull, in the Guma below, and the Shari Tshuva quotes those, and one says, has to be Davke, at least the top bar of the Dalet of the Shorosh has to be on the skull. Shouldn't be in the Guma. Lechatchila, the mitzvah certainly is to wear tefillin all day long. This is a big machlekes achrayim, and it's really a machlekes rishonim before them. Whether this is a lechatchila deraisa, tefillin kol hayom, or it's only midirabbanan, but that clearly was the practice. Bizman gemara, they wore tefillin all day long, and it's only in later years the gemara says in Masechus Shabbos that one should only wear tefillin if he has a guf noki kelisha balaknafayim. That was an individual in the days of the Tanoim, when there was persecution from the Romans against wearing tefillin. So he was very careful about putting on tefillin even during the years of the persecution. So the Gemara says you should only wear tefillin if you have a gufnaki. So bismanazai, we're all concerned nobody has a gufnaki. Gufnaki means physically clean, and the person shouldn't have any improper hurhuri money puts on the tefillin. So we're all concerned we have a problem, we have an issue with gufnaki, so therefore we have cut down hanochas tefillin. So number one, children before bar mitzvah, bismana Gemara. When a child is yodea lishmeras tefillah, he knows how to be careful about the tefillin. So you buy him a pair of tefillin a few years before his bar mitzvah. So we don't have that practice. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Baal Iter, you don't put on tefillin on the child before bar mitzvah. Then you have the practice a month before, a few months before, but you don't have a few years before. Then women usually volunteer to shake a lulav and to listen to Tkiyas Shofar and to sit in sukkah. We don't allow the women to volunteer to wear tefillin because of the issue of gufnaki. Not that the women have a bigger problem than the men. Everybody has the problem. But we have cut down, that's what Rav Soloveitchik understood, we have cut down hanochas tefillin to the bare minimum. So we don't wear tefillin kol hayom. We only wear when we daven shachris. And we don't have ketanim wear tefillin. We don't have avodim wear tefillin. We don't have women wear tefillin. Whoever is not mechuyev, they don't wear tefillin because of the issue of the gufnaki. In the days of the Tanaim, there was a big dispute whether he put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. The accepted opinion was that Shabbos and Yontif is lavzman tefillin. The Gemara has a machlekes ha-Tanaim on the assumption that you don't wear tefillin Shabbos and Yontif. What is the source of that din? So there's a machlekes what the mocker is. So part of the machlekes runs as follows. There is a pasuk that's a little unclear what it's referring to in the middle of the parsha of tefillin. So the Tanaim had a dispute. Is that a reference to Chukas HaPesach? Because in the parasha talks about Korban Pesach, Miyomim Yomima means annually. You should check the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach annually. Oh no, goes on Chukas HaTfilin. Miyomim Yomima means daily. So if you hold that it goes on Chukas HaTfilin, so mi yamim v'lo kol yamim comes to exclude Shabbos and Yom. How do you pick on Shabbos and Yom? Maybe Thanksgiving, maybe Mother's Day, maybe Yom Ha'atzmaut. How do you decide? So that's based on another pasuk that it says, "Kshartem leos al yadecho." And Shabbos itself is called an os. Beni b'emnei sar lo yisi liyalim. So one time it says you don't even need this of shamata sechukas os. You have an os. Tefillin is an os, and Shabbos is an os. So you don't need the os of tefillin on Shabbos. The other Tana says, yeah, that's correct, but more than that, you have this additional pasuk v'shamarta. So what does he need v'shamarta if he has that? So the answer is, based on miyamim yamima means that you're not mechuyev to wear tefillin on Shabbos yanta, but it's not an avera. If you learn v'shamarta, whenever it says yishom pen v'yal, so that's an iser. So then it'll be an iser to wear tefillin on Shabbos and yanta. What's the other difference, la'alocha, whether v'shamarta z'chuk azos goes on tefillin or goes on korban pesach? So the Gemara says, what about Laila? So Balaila, Laila is usually Zman Shina, unless you're in a university, so people stay up all night learning Daf Yomi, whatever. So normal people go to sleep at night. So when you sleep at night, so there's no, there's Hesach Hadas from the Tefillin. Now you have to take off the Tefillin when you're about to go to sleep. Or you shouldn't wear Tefillin at night because Laila is Zman Shina. So the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanaim, whether Laila loves Zman Tefillin is a real Din Deraisa, or it's only a Gzera Midirabbanan. So if you hold v'shamarta sechukah azos l'mayadam miyam yamim, it goes on chukas hatfilin, so it says miyamim yamim, yamim v'lo leilas. Then it's an isa deraisa, it's a real din that you're not allowed to put on tefillin balayla. And if you hold v'shamarta, it goes on chukas hapesach, so there's no pasuk at all in Chumash to tell you that you shouldn't wear tefillin balayla, so then we assume it's only midirabbanan. Tegzer Hashem ishem bohem, Hashem yafiach behem. How do we paskin? So Rov HaRishonim paskin that layla is Zman tefillin, and it's only Gzera Midirabbanan. The Rambam stands alone. The Rambam paskins that Laila min haTorah is lav Zman tefillin. Is there a difference halacha l'maisa, whether it's a din deraisa, din derabbanan? So there is a difference. The difference being, what if the person woke up in the morning and it's way before Alos HaShachar, but he's not going to go back to sleep. He already had to sleep for the night, and that's it. And he has to go to work before Alos HaShachar. Can he? So the gzera derabbanan that you're not allowed to put on tefillin balayla is if you didn't go to sleep yet for the night. But if you already woke up and you're dressed, you're not going to go to sleep again. That's it. So then if it's only midirabbanan, so there's no gzera shem yishim behem shem yafiach behem. He woke up from the whole night's sleep. But if it's a real din deraisa, you're not permitted to wear tefillin balayla. True, the din deraisa may also be for the same reason that layla is manshina. But still, if it's a din deraisa, So even if he woke up from his night's sleep, he's not allowed to wear tefillin. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas, my Sunday Charusa, some of you know my Sunday Charusa, he has big respect for Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said, there was a man who knew how to pass Kinshasa. He liked this psak. So Rav Moshe lived under the communists. And under the communists, they had to wake up before Alos HaShachar, they had to work all day. And it wasn't shot, they couldn't put on tefillin by Yom. It was impossible. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, if you put on tefillin, if you wake up before Alos HaShachar, you put on tefillin without a bracha. And then when later on, when it comes Mishiyakeh ben Tcheles Lavan, so then you can say the bracha. They had to take off the tefillin and go to work for the communists before Mishiyakeh. So if Rav Moshe would go the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch, he would tell the people, and communism lasted for a long time, lasted for 90 years until communism collapsed. So Rav Moshe felt if he's going to tell the Balabatim every day they should wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, put on tefillin, don't say a bracha, and take them off and then go to work. And daven in the middle of the work is on. He said the end of the story is going to be they're not going to wear tefillin. If you tell people to do a mitzvah and not say a bracha, they're going to realize that there's something fishy with this mitzvah. They're going to be mezalzel in mitzvah. So he told them they should say a bracha. He paskin, they should say a bracha. He said, Ikra Adin, we don't paskin like the Ram, we paskin. Laila is man tefillin. And he woke up already from the whole night's sleep. So he paskin that you should say the bracha on the tefillin. He has it in his safe, in his first chayf. The Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, B'nai Marave, Eretz Yisrael is to the west of Bavel, so when they would take off tefillin, they would recite a bracha, Shekadashana b'mitzvah b'mitzvah l'ishma chukov. Where did that nusach come from? Shemarta s'chukah hazos l'mayodam yamim yamimo. They were working on the assumption that pasuk is referring to tefillin. So when they removed the tefillin, they said the bracha. So Taisus claims they wore tefillin all day long and they took off the tefillin before nighttime. That's miyamim amim yamim v'lo leilos, because laila is lausman tefillin. So when they took off the tefillin before nighttime, to fulfill this pasuk, b'shamato sechukazos miyamim v'lo leilos, so then they said the bracha lishma chukav. The Ramban disagrees with Taisus. The Ramban and the Taisus says it's only by tefillin. When they would finish davening shacharis and take off the talis, they wouldn't say a bracha. When they finished bedikas chometz, it took a few hours. They wouldn't say a bracha lishma chukav. Only on tefillin, and only when they took off tefillin late in the day, right before the shkia, late before Shabbos, because you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. And the Ramban disagrees with the Balei HaTosfos. He thinks that the Bnei Marave, when they finished davening shacharis, they took off the tefillin. Not only when they wore tefillin all day long. And Lishma Chukah fits in after Bedikas Chametz. And when you take off your talis, if you do a mitzvah that takes a long time, takes an hour or two, then when you complete the mitzvah, so you say, Bracha Lishma Chukah. Whatever it is, we don't paskan like the Bnei Marave, but we have a carryover, the Bessos says. We say, at the end of a bullet, so that Shinish Mukhakech Boilam Azeh is a carryover from the Bracha Lishma Chukah, because we're about to take off the tefillin at the end of the davening. That's what the Bessosil quotes that he found in earlier sources. Yeah, in the Shulchan Aruch they recommend that a person should keep on the tefillin in the morning until the conclusion of Tefillah B'Tzibur. When is the conclusion of Tefillah B'Tzibur? So that's a dispute between the Mechaber and the Ramo. The Mechaber says, when the Chazan says Kaddish Tiskabel after Avolatziyah, that's the completion of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tiskabel Tzlos and our prayer should be accepted. That's the conclusion of Tefillah B'Tzibur of Shacharis and Mincha Ma'ariv. The Ramo disagrees. He says no, that the Kaddish after Aleinu is the completion of the Tefillah B'Tzibur. So one should not remove the Tefillin until after the Kaddish after Aleinu. And then the Ramo adds on that in many shuls the practice is the Kaddish after Aleinu is only recited if there's an oval. It's a Kaddish Yosem. If there's no oval, so no one says the Kaddish. The Ramo says no. He thinks the Kaddish after Aleinu is the conclusion of the Tefillah B'Tzibur, even if there's no oval. If there's an oval, so let the oval say the Kaddish. No oval, then someone else should say the Kaddish. The Kaddish after Ezel Mekoyman, Kaddish the Rabbanon, that's if there's an oval, he says Kaddish. No oval, you don't say Kaddish. Kaddish after Mizmah Shechanukah Zabayis L'Dovid, that's not part of the Aving. If there's no oval, so you don't say the Kaddish. Kaddish after Yishtabach, that's part of the Tefillah, even if there's no oval, the Chazan says that. So that's the Machloikah. So this Ramah is L'shitosa. The Ramah says the Kaddish after Aleinu should be recited even if there's no Yosom. That's the conclusion of the Tefillah B'Tzibur. And L'shitosa, he says, you should leave on the Tefillin until after the Kaddish after Aleinu. Even the Mechaber, there are those that disagree with this Ramah. The Vilna Gaon says the Ramah is based on an earlier source that he had a misprint in. So the those that disagree, but so they disagree, they hold like the Mechaber. So the Mechaber says you should leave on the Tefillin until after the Kaddish, after well, after the completion of the Kaddish Tiskabel. That's the conclusion of the Tefillah B'Tzibur. Chol HaMoed, on the assumption that Shabbos and Yom Tov we do not wear Tefillin, that's our practice. Yeah, what do you say? Kaddish Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't wear Tefillin. It's an Issa to wear Tefillin, or it's just that you're potter. If you want to wear Tefillin, you may. So the Pashat Pshat is that that depends on this Machlekes. If you hold Vishamata, so Chukas Zos goes on Chukas HaTefillin, then Vishamata, Hishamaten V'Yala is Allah, the Gemara says. Then it's a prohibition. It's also to wear Tefillin on Shabbos. Yeah, but we really don't hold like that, Rama. We hold Mikar, then Vishamata, so Chukas Zos goes on Pesach, doesn't go on Tefillin. We hold that Laila is only Midirabbanan, you don't wear Tefillin. It's not Menatur. So we really hold that on Shabbos, if you want to, you may put on Tefillin. You don't have to if you don't want to. It's a tour. That's the Maharam on the bottom of the Marshah, the last daf in the first parak in Beitza. The Mishnah says when you visit someone, when you're a guest by someone, by Yantiv, the minig is you bring a bottle of wine, you bring a box of chocolates, and you bring a gift that they can use. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says you can only bring a gift that they can use today, and then the Gemara says like a pair of tefillin. So the Maharam points out there, commenting on the Tosfos, you see that it's permissible to wear tefillin on Yantiv. You don't have to if you don't want to, but if you want to, you may put on film. That's on the assumption that you only learn out from oath, but if you hold from the other pasuk, v'shamarto, which we don't hold like that, we hold v'shamarto goes on Korban Pesach, then it would be an issa to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. In the Shulchan Aruch, they have a discussion. Mechaber writes that the pair of tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov is a klisha malachta leheter. If you want to, you can wear tefillin. Then the Taz says, according to what the Mechaber wrote in Hilchas Tefillin, that's in Hilchas Muktzeh. Chaba writes like that. That pair of tefillin is not mukta on Shabbos. It's a klisha malachta leheter. Then the Taz says, but the Mechaber in Hilchas Tefillin quotes from the Zohar that not only is there an Iser prohibition to wear tefillin on Shabbos, Yom Tov, Mechal HaMoed, that's what we're going to get to now. It's an Iser to wear tefillin. So then the Taz says, then the tefillin should be a klisha malachta leheter. It should be like a hammer that you're only allowed to move it. Let's say someone left this tefillin there on Friday and they need every seat in the shul. So you want to take off the tefillin from the chair in order that someone can sit there. So the Taz says that we should really treat tefillin like a klisha malachta leiser, but a klisha malachta leiser, the tzarach mekama, would be mutter. Let's say they left a hammer or a screwdriver on a chair. You want to sit on the chair, so you'll be permitted to remove the hammer or the screwdriver. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He remembers he heard as a child, he heard from his uncle Rav Elvala, there were a few years that they were together. So he said, he heard from his uncle that if you say like the Taz argues, that it's prohibited to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it should be worse than a klisha malach d'liyisa, since it's kol malach d'liyisa. So the Magen Avraham quotes an opinion from Yozer Ruah that should be muktzeh mamish. That's an opinion in Rishayim. Rav Soloveitchik was always pushing for that opinion, because the Magen Avraham refers to it. A klisha kol malach d'liyisa should be muktzeh mamish. Anyway, what's the story with tefillin on a Chol HaMoed? So Tosfos has a big discussion. Tosfos has two opinions, whether one is obligated to wear tefillin on a Chol HaMoed or not. Some of the Tanoim felt you're obligated to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. See, you can't quote from those Tanoim. They hold Shabbos and Yom Tov, you wear tefillin. Shaila is the way we pass on the Shabbos and Yom Tov. What's the story with Chol HaMoed? What's the Shaila? What's called an os? What's called an os? There's no Issa Malocha. What's called the os? The Issa Malocha is the os. So the Issa Malocha on Chol HaMoed is a Machlokes HaRishonim, whether it's Deraisa Derabbanan. And even according to those Rishonim hold that the Issa Malocha on Chol HaMoed is Deraisa, Rav Soloveitchik quoted from the Keren Ora, the first piece of Keren Ora, Maseches Ma'id Katan, that it's not an Issa Lav, it's a bitl essay of Simchas Yontev. On Chol HaMoed is a mitzvah of Simcha, so if a person is going to go do Malocha on Chol HaMoed, it'll be a bitl essay, but it's not really an Issa Malocha. So on the one hand, the day has a real Kedushas HaYom that should have asked the Malocha, should have asked the malacha, but the Paul Mamish, there is no Issa Malacha. So is the Issa Malacha the issue that the Nakuda that makes it into an oath? Or should we say eating matzah is the oath? Why should eating matzah? That's what the Mishkan and Zayinkev talks about. Eating matzah is the oath. Sitting in the sukkah is an oath. Issa Malacha is the oath. It should really revolve about that, the Issa Malacha. Anyway, it's a machlekes harishayim, whether Chol HaMoed is chayiv in tefillin or not. The Maisa, there are different practices. So the Ramos practice is that you say a bracha, and we at tefillin Chol HaMoed, you say a bracha. The Rambam just says that since it's a machlokes, but he's supposed to wear tefillin, so maybe the bracha is the bracha of Atola. So the Chazan, apparently, in the days of the Rambam, they had the practice like they do in Broyers, that the Chazan says the bracha lisata betzitzis out loud, and everybody hears him. That he says the bracha l'hanich tefillin out loud, then he says the bracha mitzvah tefillin out loud. So the Rambam says that achalamoid, when the Chazan puts on the tefillin, you should say the bracha softly. You shouldn't say it out loud, because just like you're not allowed to say a bracha levatol, you're not allowed to say amen to a bracha levatol. So why should I cause you to say a bracha? Why should I cause the other people to say amen levatol? The Taz asks, what is he so touchy? What is the Rambam so worried about the amen on the bracha levatol? Why isn't he more worried about the bracha levatol? So that the Rambam should have said, you wear tefillin l'chalmoid without a bracha. So many follow that practice. They wear tefillin l'chalmoid without a bracha. And then the others follow the Mechaber. The Mechaber quotes the Zohar, that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Chalamoid. It's an isa to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontov, and the same isa applies to Chalamoid. It's a bizoyan to the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos and Yontov and Chalamoid. If you wear tefillin, Keili, you're demonstrating that Shabbos and Yontov and Chalamoid are not a nois. So it's a bizoyan. That's why there's the Hasidim have that practice, that they don't wear tefillin on Chalamoid at all. So the Abnei Nezer was a Chassidus Rebbe, so somebody asked him, isn't it a sveka deraisa? How come they don't wear tefillin chalamoid? Why do they follow the Zohar? It's not so clear in the Gemara. He says, no, the Talmud Bavli paskins like the Zohar on this. And often a Bavli. They quoted the Gemara, fascinating. Abnei Nezer was a super genius. None of his Talmidim were like him. Some of them were half geniuses, but no one was like him. Elegant, super genius. So he says, it's a beferishi Gemara in Maseches Krisa Daf Tesam and Aleph. The Pasuk says in Aseres Hadibros, you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. V'ger chasher b'sharecha. The ger is not allowed to do malacha. So what kind of a ger are you talking about? If you're talking about a ger tzedek, a goish and his gayer, so he's included in ato. So what do you need ger chasher b'sharecha? It must be you're talking about a ger toishav. What do you mean? A ger toishav has to observe Shabbos? Something new? Ger toishav is not Jewish. Ger toishav is a non-Jew who accepted upon himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs ben Yinoyach. Why does he have to observe Shabbos? So Rabbi Yosef Engel poses a kasha. Rabbi Nezer works on the same kasha. They lived the same time 100 years ago. So they're worried with this kasha. What is the whole institution of a ger toishav, a non-Jew who accepts upon himself in the presence of three Jews to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? He's mechuyev. Whether he likes it or not, he's obligated to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. If a non-Jew accepts upon himself to keep Taryag Mitzvahs, that's Kabbalah on Mitzvahs. That makes sense. But what does it mean? He accepts upon himself Sheva Mitzvahs. He's mechuyev anyway to observe it. Rabbi Yosef Engel thinks, he writes in Oitzus Yosef on Yeridei, it has beautiful Haoris on Yeridei, and Simon Beis, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about Ger Toishav. So he thinks that the Gemara says in Bava Kama, Amad v'aymoyded eretz roa v'ayata goyim, the Pasuk in the Haftorah of second day Shavuos, from Chavakuk. So Amad v'aymoyded eretz roa v'ayata goyim, Kadosh Baruch Hu looked around, he saw all over the world, the Nochrim are not observing the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nech, he said, okay, you don't have hitalehem. He said, you don't have to keep the Sheva Mitzvah. I see, and it's not working, so forget it. Don't observe the Sheva Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Nimtza Chayte Niskar, because they violated the Sheva Mitzvah, so they're off the hook, they don't have to keep it. The Gemara says, no, if they don't observe it, they're going to be punished. But if they do observe it, they'll only get reward like an Eina Mitzvah V'yosef. They won't get reward like a Mitzvah V'yosef. That was the punishment. Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests, maybe that's what's accomplished by the Ger Toishav accepting upon himself the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nech. Now he's going to get reward like a Mitzvah B'yosef. Okay, that's his suggestion. So the Avdei Nezer has a different suggestion based on this sugya. The whole discussion increases Daf Tesem and Aleph. There are the three-way machlokes hatanoim. How to read pshat and aposik and aseres hadibus. Ger chasher b'sharecha. That the Ger Toishav is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. What does it refer to? So the first opinion is, what's accomplished by the Ger Toishav is accepting the Sheva Mitzvah B'nech. He's b'chuyev to observe the Sheva Mitzvah, whether he accepts it or not. The answer is, when he accepts it, he's b'chuyev not only to observe the basic Sheva Mitzvah B'nech, he has to observe the Mitzvah B'nech with all the Avodah Zarah, with all the enhancements. So, for example, Avodah Zarah. The Sheva Mitzvah B'nech, the Goy is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, one is Mechal Shabbos, b'feres is dinikoy with Avodah Zarah. Because when you observe Shabbos, you're testifying, you're demonstrating that you subscribe to the story of creation. Mechal Shabbos, you're not demonstrating that you believe in the story of creation. One who doesn't believe in creation can go do whatever he wants. He can go worship Avodah Zarah. So because the Ger Toshev accepted upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, he has to enhance his observance of not worshiping Avodah Zarah by observing Shabbos as well. That's on the one hand. But on the other hand, Anochi Shabbos Chayv Misa. So you can't tell him to observe Shabbos like Shabbos, that's an Iser. It's a special, that's the Avdeneza, and that Shuvah quotes from the Zohar, gives a mashal. What does it mean? Os, Beni, Bemenei, So, what's Beni, Bemenei, So, what's the special relationship? So the Zohar gives a mashal that the Avdeneza quotes in this Shuvah, that the maid in the royal palace has the keys to all the rooms. She has to be able to clean up. So sometimes when the king and the queen are in bed together having a good time, and the maid is going to open the door, he's going to kill her. He's going to behead the maid. You have to have seichel. Don't come in when the king and the queen are having a private moment. So that's what it means. Beni b'emenei Yisrael lo'isei li'olam. Shabbos is the day of the week that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a yichud with Klal Yisrael. So if the Umos Olam barge in, it's like the maid barging in the bedroom when she doesn't belong. That's the mashal that the Zohar gives. So the Nochrim, even the Ger Toshav, we want him to observe Shabbos to enhance his Kabbalah, not to worship Avodah Zarah. But he's going to observe Shabbos like we observe Shabbos, he'll be Chayiv Misa. So that's the first time is of the opinion that the Ger Toshav should observe Shabbos ki Yisrael b'yontif. The second Tana says no. B'yontif is also Asa. Yontif is also an Os. Beni b'emnei Yisraeli Sivyon goes on Shabbos and on Yontif. So the second Tana, one is Rabbi Akiva, there are different Girsas. One is Rabbi Akiva, one is Rabbi Shmuel, there are different Girsas who says which. So the second Tana says, Yontif is also an Os. So if the Ger Toshav will observe Shabbos like we observe Yontif, he'll also be Chayiv Misa. He has to observe Shabbos, ki Yisrael b'chol amoid. And the third Tana is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who happens to be the author of the Zohar. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, Chol amoid is also an Os. So if he'll observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol amoid, he'll also be Chayiv Misa. So he has no choice. So the Ger Toshav, observe Shabbos, ki Yisrael b'chol. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos. He has no choice, not allowed to observe Shabbos. So what does the pasuk mean? Gercha she b'sharecha. So Taisus in Yevamos explains that there's an Isar Amir le'akum der Isar. If Yisrael will ask the Ger Toshav to do melacha for him, that's what the pasuk means. Not that the Ger Toshav on his own is not allowed to do melacha. He has to do melacha. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos even like we observe Chol HaMoed. But it means we have an Isar der Isar. And this is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein der Isar Tikkun. We have an Isar der Rabbanan of Amir le'akum. What is it patterned after? It's patterned after the Issa Deraisa of Amir Liakim. If the Akim would be a Ger Toshav, there would have been an Issa Deraisa of Amir Liakim. So even if he's not a Ger Toshav, that's what the Rabbanan introduced in Issa. So then the Gemara says, Halachik Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, increases Daf Tesla Gemara, so we pass like Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. So he says, what did the Gemara say? So the Abnei Nesa says, what did the Gemara say? The Din is like the Zohar, that Chalamoid is Dina Kais. So that's it. So Dina Kais. So if it's an Issa, you don't wear tefillin. So he says, it's a Bavli, an Ofna. Forget about the Zohar. It's an Ofna Bavli that we pass from the Chol HaMoed is a nice. Anyway, that's the big Machlekes. The Mishkan is Yankev, who was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Valojina from Valojina Yeshiva, from the early Tkufa, from the first Tkufa. And every year he would visit the Yeshiva. Rab Chaim Valojina would be Mechabedim to give the Shir in the Yeshiva. And he was the Rav in Karlin by the Stolen HaChasidim. Karlin and Stolen are twin cities that you just walk 5 minutes and you're in the other city. So he has several of his tshuvas are attacking chassidishit practices. So it happens that this issue, not to wear tefillin l'chol hamoed, this the Vilna Goyen didn't holds also the same chassidim, not to wear tefillin l'chol hamoed, also based on the same Zohar and Balochin, that was the practice. No one wore tefillin l'chol hamoed, but the Mishkanes Yankev had a fight to chassidim. He has a long tshuva to explain why al pi kabbalah you should wear tefillin l'chol hamoed. That opinion in the Zohar is not to be the accepted opinion. That's a little unusual. He always quotes Biuri Agro. Here he just ignores the Vilna Goyen because he's out to fight against the Hasid. So, Lamais and Chalamoy, there are three different practices. Some wear tefillin with a bracha. They just don't say the bracha out loud. Some follow the Taz. They wear tefillin without a bracha at all because of the suffix. And many of the Hasidim don't wear tefillin at all. Rav Soloveitchik said that his father once asked Reb Chaim, why doesn't he wear tefillin chol hamoed? It's a sofik deraisa. Why is he so convinced? So he said his grandfather said it's a vaday. It's a vaday that the kedusha sayam of chol hamoed is the same level as yontif, and it's the same ois. It's just a ptur. It's a heta to do malach. Even if you hold malachas, chol hamoed is the rabbanon, but the kedusha sayam is the same as kedusha sayam of yontif. How do you know? Because the Gemara says that every day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos is say Halal Shalom. And the Gemara says we don't say Halal Shalom on Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because it's Le'igdish Basiyas Malach. So how do you say Halal Shalom on every day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos? So you see that it's Mutar B'Malach, and even if it's also Malacha, even if you hold Tzatzim Malach, it's only a bit less. It's not an Isa Lav of Malacha. So you see, it's Igdish Basiyas Malach has the same level of Kedusha Sayyim that Yontif has. It's just that it has a Heter to do Malach. So he said, Rav Chaim said that the meaning Agroa, meaning of Aloshin, that was correct, that that you don't wear tefillin. They have in the collection of letters, the Rabbi Kivega's family, this Rabbi Kivega's, one of Rabbi Kivega's daughters was married to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer had three wives, one after the other. So the second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Kivega. He was only 1 year younger than Rabbi Kivega. He lived the same length. He died 1 year after Rabbi Kivega died. They lived the same length of years. So the Schreiber family, the Chassam Sofer's family, the Sofer family, had a practice. They followed from the Sefer Chazinim not to throw out any letters. So they had, the attic was always stuffed with the old letters that they got in the mail. And then the government came, the fire department came, and they declared that it's a fire hazard. And they said, you got to get rid of all the letters. They give them 30 days to get rid of all the letters, or they're going to burn everything. So they had to quickly, they had to look through the letters and throw out whatever they can throw out. And then they saved some of the letters. So those letters were printed later in collections that are called Igra Sefer, all the letters from the Schreiber family, from the Sefer family. So I have among the letters there, Rabbi Kivega had a grandson who was a Chassidish Rebbe, Rabbi Leibele Eger. So he used to correspond with his uncle, Rabbi Kivega's son-in-law, Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum, to ask him, tell me stories about my grandfather, tell me stories about him. So he writes different things there in the letters. So one of the things he writes is that Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum, the son-in-law of Rabbi Kivega, was a Chassidish, and his father-in-law was a Misnagid. Same thing, the Nesivis was also, they were contemporary. Nesivis was a Misnagid, and the son-in-law was also a Schidish. So the son-in-law writes in the letter to Rabbi Leibele Eger, he once visited his in-laws, he visited Rabbi Kivega for a Yontif for Chol HaMoed, and he says, my father-in-law, Rabbi Kivega, forced me to put on tefillin. He lived in Germany. The Yekas put on tefillin, they say a bracha. He made me put on tefillin. He said, the first time in my life I ever put on tefillin Chol HaMoed, but at least he was decent about it. He didn't make me say a bracha, because the people wouldn't see when I'm saying a bracha or not. If I'm going to daven in shul without tefillin, it'll be noticeable to the whole public. So he made me put on tefillin in shul, I daven in shul, but he didn't make me. He was nice about it, didn't make me say a bracha. He has other things there. That's in those, that collection of letters, that's where they write. Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum writes that Rabbi Kivega's practice was, when he would say the bracha, Ashikidish he did mibetam by a bris, he say koris abris, he would take a sip of the wine right away. He wouldn't wait till after. So that's Rabbi Moshe Feinstein endorsed that minig. He said we should follow Rabbi Kivega's minig. We shouldn't follow the common practice that you don't take a sip of the wine till after you do the Kriyas Hashem. So that's in that collection of letters in the Igros Sefer. The Gemara says that the Kesha shall tefillin is halach l'moshe misinai. So that's a big machlek, is Rashi and Taisvis. In the first parak in Brochas on Davov, what does it mean? So Rashi writes that the Bayis Shel Rosh has to have a shin. We have two shins on the Bayis Shel Rosh. And then the Kesha Shel Rosh is a dalad, and Kesha Shel Yad is a yud. So it spells that shin dalad yud. And that's what the Gemara has a comment there in Brochas Davov. Ro kalami horetz kishem Hashem nikra lecho yor mimeko. When the goyim will see that we're wearing the shin and the dalid, so that's two thirds of the shem Hashem, and the yud is hidden over here. The yorim imeka, so they'll be afraid of the Jewish people. They won't start up with the Jewish people. So Rashi holds that the kesher shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai, there has to be a dalid and a yud. Taisus argues with Rashi, how can that be? They say kesher shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai, there should be a kesher. But the tzuras dalet tzuras here, that's not halacha l'moshe misinai, that's only midirabbanan. How do they know? Because the Gemara in Bamei Madlikin says you have two sources to indicate the same din. What do you need two sources for the same din? The din being that when you write parshios of Sevetar Tefillin Mezuzah, you have to write on Or Behemoth Tehorah. You have to use the hide that was converted into parchment as to come from a kosher animal. It can't come from a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara has one as a pasuk, one as halacha l'moshe misinai. So the pasuk says, "Lamanti, you should wear tefillin. Lamanti ateres Hashem beficha, ki biyad chazaka atziach Hashem in Mitzrayim." So the pasuk says, Torah Hashem beficha. When you write divrei Torah, it should be min amuta beficha. The hide of a horse or the hide of a pig is not edible. So strictly speaking, if you want to eat it, you may. Min haTorah, there's no issa to eat the hide. But still, the animal has not been amuta beficha. So the hide has to be. The din is that the hide of a kosher animal can be used for, say, for Torah Tefillah Mezuzah, even if the animal is in the veil or trefa. That's called min amuta beficha. The min is muta beficha. And if the min behema is an elephant or a horse, if the min is an asa beficha, even though the hide itself is not the roi lachila, there's no isa deraisa in eating the hide, still it has to be from a min that's muta beficha. So the Gemara says, I have that source. Let's say, for Torah Tefillah Mezuzah, has to be written on parchment that came from an animal that's min amuta beficha. Then the Gemara says, we have the Gemara Dan Bar Medlikin is discussing the tachash. What kind of an animal was the tachash? In the Midbar, when they made the Mishkan, so they used orist toshin, they used the hide of the tachash to protect the Mishkan from the rain. When it would rain, so the water wouldn't get through to get absorbed into the ureas were cloth, and this was our tachash was on top. So the Gemara wants to know, what's with this tachash? Is it a kosher animal or not? So the Gemara says, let's go see if it has malagir mafris parsa. The Gemara says, the animal doesn't exist anymore. It was only existed in the days of the Midbar, doesn't exist anymore, died out. So the Gemara says, was it a kosher animal or not? Did it have malagir mafris parsa? The Gemara says, it must have been a kosher animal because gemiri, we assume gemiri means halacha moshe misinai. It's a little questionable, but that's what we assume. Gemiri lehuch shel malach ha-shamayim alo abehem ator belvan. We have a tradition that you can only use Orbeh Matahira for Malecha Shamayim, so it must have been that the Tachash must have been a kosher animal. And the days in the Midbar, so if you want, you can shechten and eat it. And that's why they're allowed to use the hide for the cover of the Mishkan. That's the Machlek. What about Sandal Shal Chalitza? Is there a din? Sandal Shal Chalitza is a Tashmisha Mitzvah, it's not a Tashmisha Kedusha. Talking about the Oris Techoshim, the hide on the Mishkan, that's Tashmisha Kedusha. You're talking about the tefillin, the ritzus of the tefillin, that's Tashmisha Kedusha. If you're talking about whether the chalazon that Rabbi Yehuda has tshuvas, was the chalazon a kosher fish or a non-kosher fish? If it's a shelled sea animal, so that's not kosher. That doesn't have snapper the kaskeses. The way they assume now that it's a shellfish, not a shellfish, what do you call it?
Snail.
A snail. So for sure it's not kosher. So that's a discussion that the Nadi Yehuda has, and his son has about that more. Nadi Yehuda's son has long essays, others have about that, whether the chalazon is a kosher thing or not kosher. The Ramah writes that, the Ramah quotes Iran, the Iran has a suffix, whether the shofar from a non-kosher animal is acceptable or not. Why? Because shofar is tashmisha mitzvah, it's not tashmisha gedusha. So that's a shaila, whether this Alochal Moshe Mitzvah of the Huchal Malach HaShamayim Balar Behem Atar Belvad Malach HaShamayim only goes on Tashmisha Gedusha, or it even goes on Tashmisha Mitzvah. That's a Machlokes HaShem. That's a Machlokes. The Torah Chesed by the Lavlina Rav has an essay about that. He quotes all the Rishon. So the Gemara asks, what do you need a Halachal Moshe Mitzvah? It's a Chapasik. The Mantiya Torah HaShem Meficha Ben Amut HaBeficha. You can only write Divrei Torah if the hide comes from an animal with a min is Torah, that is Mut HaBeficha. So the Gemara says, that pasuk, Torah Hashem Beficha, and Amut Beficha, only goes on the klaf where you write, you say, V'torah Tefillah and a mezuzah. But if you're talking about the batim have no divrei Torah written on them, so the batim need a halachal Moshe Mesina. The batim are not covered with the pasuk. So the Gemara says, but shin shall tefillah and halachal Moshe Mesina. So the shin is another ois of divrei Torah. It's not stam a symbol. It's another ois of divrei Torah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, if a person learns halom im machaber ois achas, that's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If a person can learn more than Oisachas, so he's not Yotze by just learning Oisachas, but that's, you learn Oisachas, that's, you learn Talmud Torah. So Oisachas Shin is also Divrei Torah, it's Torah Hashem Beficha. The Gemara says, you're right, the Halacha Moshe Mesina L'Huchshon L'Lech Hashemayim goes on Ritzuas, doesn't go on the bottom. So Rabbi Kedegir asks, why didn't the Gemara say it goes on the Bayi Shal Yad? Why did the Gemara have to jump to the Ritzuas? But that's what the Gemara says, it goes on the Ritzuas. That's the end of the Gemara. So Tosfos and Brachos, Davar, they ask the question, if Rashi is right, that the Shin and the Dalet and the Yud are all their Isa, the Shin for sure is Halachal Moshe Mesinai. If the Dalet and the Yud are also their Isa, Halachal Moshe Mesinai, so you also have an Ois, just like the Shin is an Ois of Torah, so the Dalet and the Yud are also. Why does the Gemara say the Ritzuas are not covered with the Pasuk of Torah, Hashem B'Fich, you need the Halachal Moshe Mesinai, the Ritzua should also be covered. Because they have the Yois of Shin and the Yois of Yud. So it's a raya that the Shin, the raya that the Dalad and the Yud is only Midirabbanan, and the Ritzua just has to be a Kesher. That's a simple reading in the Gemara. The last Perek in Erevin. The last Perek in Erevin, a person is walking in the street and he sees a pair of tefillin in the garbage, and the garbage collectors are going to come and then they're going to incinerate all the garbage. And there's no Erev. So what do? You can't carry it home. And the Mishnah says you put on the tefillin, unless they'll arrest you and put you in prison for wearing tefillin. But if you're not afraid, they're going to beat you up. So put on the tefillin and go home. And if there's more than one pair of tefillin, it's a discussion in the Tanaim. Can you put on two shal yads and two shal roshes and walk home? They can only wear one pair at a time, the whole discussion. So the Gemara says, what if there's a pair of tefillin that doesn't have a kesher? Are you allowed to make the kesher on Shabbos in order to be able to wear it on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, well, you can make a kesher shal kayama, but what about an aniva? So aniva is a machlekes hatanoim, whether aniva on Shabbos is a kesher, deraisa or not. So we paskin is not. So the Gemara says, if you hold aniva is a kesher shal kayama for Shabbos, then aniva is good for tefillin also. The tefillin will be kosher. If you hold aniva is not a kesher shal kayama for Shabbos, that's a we paskin. Aniva is not a kesher shal kayama for Shabbos, then it's not a kesher shal kayama for tefillin either. What do you mean aniva? But it has to be a yud and a dalet. There's a whole fancy way to make it. So they see it's simple reading in Gemara. That the whole tzuris adala, whole tzuris ayud is all midirabbanan. That mi'ikir adin, you just make a kesher and it's good. If you hold aniva as a kesher shalkan, you can make an aniva on the tefillin also. That's the famous Gemara that the Avnei Nezer came up with a chiddush. Let's say I borrow a pair of tefillin from someone else and the shalrosh is too small or too large. So it gives me permission to alter the kesher. So I make it bigger, smaller. And then, after I finish davening shachris, I take it off and I make it back the same size that it was before, larger or smaller. So I only had the kesher for an hour while I was davening shachris. I took the kesher apart. So that's a kesher shena shel kayama. If you make a kesher on Shabbos, which you plan to untie within an hour and a half, I'm going to untie the whole kesher. So isn't that a kesher shena shel kayama? The Gemara said that just like you need kesher shel kayama for Shabbos, you need kesher shel kayama for tefillin also. So the Avnei Nezer came up with this chumra, that if you borrow tefillin from someone else and you adjust the kesher, you have to have in mind to leave it like that for 24 hours. So there were many who approved of this chiddush of the Avnei Nezer. Rav Soloveitchik said his father did not agree. His father thought that it didn't make any sense. What do you mean, to leave it for 24 hours? That shir is midirabbanan. That's not a shir min haTorah for kesher shel kayama. Some say half a year, indefinitely. You're going to leave the kesher. That's a chumra midirabbanan. If you tie your shoelaces and it's gonna stay for more than 24 hours, midirabbanan be treated as a kesher shel kayama. That's not minat Torah. How can you say that helps over here by tefillin? So he said his father held that it wasn't right. He said that there are two aspects in Hilchos Shabbos, the two aspects to the din of kesher shel kayama. One is that the tzuras hakesher shel be shel kayama, and secondly, it has to be malachas mashabbos. You have to intend to leave it. For a long time, for 6 months or indefinitely, whatever the shear is, it's going to be much more than 24 hours. So in Hilchos Tefillin, the Gemara says on the last Perek in Erevin, you need a kesher shel kayam. I mean, the tzuras hakesher has to be a kesher shel kayam. So if an aniva is a kesher shel kayam for Shabbos, that tzuras hakesher is called the kesher shel kayam for Tefillin as well. But if aniva is not a tzuras hakesher shel kayam, then for tefillin would be possible also. But the fact that for Shabbos purposes you have to intend to leave it for a long time, that's a Shabbos dikadin. That's not a kesher dikadin. That's not a din hilchus. Kesher is a din, you need a kesher shal kayama. For chalitz also you need a kesher shal kayama. You need a kesher, so you need a kesher shal kayama. But the only thing you carry over from Shabbos to hilchus tefillin is that the tzuras hakesher should be a kesher shal kayama. That's how Rav Moshe Soloveitchik understood the chumras haramor. The Ramo quotes a chumr from the Hagos Alfasi, what we call the Shulta Giborim, on the side of the Rift that was already available in the days of the Ramah. So the Hagos Alfasi has a chumre that on Shabbos you should never tie a kesher agabi kesher. Let's say a woman has a dress. Usually in women's dresses you have it like that. A lot of times they tie knots. So even she plans to untie it within 24 hours, you should never allow a kesher agabi kesher. What is this chumre all about? So they give a whole explanation why. So Moshe Soloveitchik thought, no, the Chumah is like this. In Hilcha Shabbos, you need two aspects to be called the Kesher Shalkayim. The Tzuris HaKesher should be Shalkayim, Kesher Al-Gavi Kesher. You have to have the Kavana, intention to leave it for a long period of time. That's Malach Miskayem. It's Kalos Malach B'Shabbos and Malach Miskayem. It should be Malachas Machshevis. So Midirabbanan, there's a Taisus in Yuma. There's a long Taisus in Yuma that's very important. And Hilcha Shabbos goes on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis to Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, a long, long, unending Taisus. Keeps on talking and talking, they have a lot to say. They cover a lot of areas about Dov Shein and Miskaven, it's only Midirabbanan and Shabbos. So one line, one crucial line in that Taisus is that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Dov Shein and Miskaven is Osir and Kol HaTorah Kula Min HaTorah, but by Shabbos it's only Osir Midirabbanan, because Min HaTorah, Dov Shein and Miskaven is lacking Malachas Machshevah. So it's Mutta Min HaTorah, it's only Osir Midirabbanan. So why do they Machmeh Midirabbanan? So Taisus has a line, Kedei Lahashva Shabbos, Lashar Kol HaTorah Kula. Whatever is mutar on Shabbos because of a lack of malachas mashevis, so they asked it midirabbanan kedei lahashvat Shabbos l'shar kol haTorah kula. So he said on Shabbos, if you make a kesher al gabi kesher, the tzuris hakesher is shal kayama, and in tefillin and in chalitza that would be enough. That's called the tzuris hakesher. That's called kesher shal kayama. In Hilcha Shabbos, because there's an added requirement of malachas mashevis asvat Torah, so you require that in order to be called the kesher shal kayama, he has to plan to leave it for a longer period of time. So, Kedei Lahashvi Shabbos, Lashar Kol HaTorah Kula, they were Machmeh Midirabbanan to Asim. That was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's interpretation of the Minig. That's a Minig. That's a Minig. Not to make a double knot on Shabbos, even if you plan to untie it. The Shari Tshuva quotes the Chido, that where he came from in Eretz Yisrael, they never had that Minig. In certain parts of Europe, the Sephardim never had that Minig. So, some had such a Minig. So, the Ramah quotes it from the Shulti Gibar. So everything has to be Or Behem Torah. The parshios, the klaf of the parsha has to be Or Behem Torah from a kosher animal. The batim has to be from a kosher animal. And the ritzuos also have to be from a kosher animal. Then the Gemara says the tfiris have to be from Gidin of a Behem Torah. And then each of the four parshios in the shalrosh, in the four compartments, you wrap it up the parsha. And then the Gemara has a real din. Allah HaMashim is saying you have to tie it. Nechrochas b'sairon. You have to take seir from an eagle, seir from a behemah Torah. The seir from a non-kosher animal is kosher. It's not edible. It's not roi lachid. It's kosher, but it has to be a min behemah Torah, min amuta b'ficha. So you're not allowed to use seir from a behemah tmeya to tie up the parshias in the shorosh. It has to be seir from a behemah Torah. Everything has to be from a behemah Torah. Yeah, the Rambam writes about this. The Rambam sounds like he holds like Rashi, that the Dalit is a real din deraisa, not like Taisus, that Min HaTorah, Kesher shel tefillin halacha mashem sin, there should be a Kesher, but the Tzuris Dalit, Tzuris Yud is only the Rabbonah. The Rambam sounds like he says that the Dalit is a real din deraisa. So how does he answer Taisus Kasha? So the Brisker Rav has on that Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik said the same pshat. They probably both got it from the same source. That the Rambam holds it has to be a Kesher b'Tzuris Dalit. It's not a real Dalit. The Rambam writes, it's a kesher b'tzuras dalet. The shin on the shal rosh on the bayis is a shin. The kesher shal rosh should be a kesher that should look like a dalet. And that's what the Brisker Rav adds on this part, Rav Soloveitchik didn't say. The Gemara says, "Risa sachora ifone la'iro hakadosh baruch haherul ala moshe kesher shel tefillin." Why did he have to show him the kesher shel tefillin? Tell me, make a kesher a dalet. He said, no, it's not a dalet. It has to look like a dalet. It's not a real dalet. It looks like a dalet. Since it's not a real dalet, so it's not covered with the din of Torah Hashem Eficha. That's why you need Allah HaMashim and Sinai of Lehukhshu and Malach HaShemayim Alor Behema Tohara Bilvad. The Gemara has a din that if a woman writes a Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, it's possible. Because in Chumash Dvar Midarshin Smuchim. In Kol HaTorah Kula, there's a machlaikas. Kol HaTorah Kula Midarshin Hekesh. Hekesh means you have two din written in the same pasuk. You assume that there's some connection between the two, but if you have two tinim written and two adjacent psukim, so that's a machlekes hatanaim, where they dash and smuchim in Kol HaTorah Kula. But in Chumash Dvarim, in Mishnah Torah, the Gemara said at the beginning of Yevamos, the first that Afei Aso, the Gemara says, all the tanaim agree that they dash and smuchim in Chumash Dvarim. So there are many, 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 many famous drushes that is based on smuchim. The whole institution of Malkus, who gets Malkus, one who violates an Avera, which is similar to L'satzum Shabbadisha, the whole third parak in Malkus, is based on that smuchim. That everything, that's the whole klal. Whoever violates the lav, dumi, the lav, the chasima, is like, you have so many dinim. So one of the many dinim is, Kshartim achsaptim, the two psukim are written one next to the other. Kshartim lo sal yadecha, achsaptim am zuzis beisecha b'sharecha. Only one who is a bar kshira, one who puts on tefillin, is kosher to write ksivas ha-mezuzah. A woman who's not mechuyev to wear tefillin, so she cannot write her own mezuzah, even though she's putting the mezuzah on her own door, she's mechuyev to put a mezuzah, but she's psula for the ksivas ha-mezuzah. So the Rishonim have a machlokes the Pischei Tshuva Yoredei, and Hilchos Sefer Torah quotes this. When in Europe, every community used to get together every 50 years or so, put up money, and they would commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah, because it's really a mitzvah. Kisvei lachem es hashir hazos. Every Jewish man, some hold even women, have an obligation to write a sefer Torah. So there should be millions and millions and millions of sefer Torah. So it's too expensive. You can't. Each person can't commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah. So we rely. There's a machlokes on poskim. We rely on those poskim to say that this mitzvah can be fulfilled b'shutfus. The Gemara says in the end of Chulin, what's the rule? Which mitzvahs can you fulfill b'shutfus and which not? The Gemara says the rule is whenever it's written in the Chumash b'lashon Rabbim, then you can fulfill a mitzvah b'shutfus. Whenever it's written b'lashon Yochid, you can't be yotze b'shutfus. So here it says kisvo lachem. So kisvo lachem. So many achrayim hold. You see from the pasuk that you can be yotze in the mitzvah b'shutfus. So that was the practice every 50 years. Whoever didn't participate in the list, he wasn't born yet, or he was a little baby then. So now he gives a dollar, and the whole community together commissions a sefer, and they write a sefer Torah. So we assume everybody's yotze b'shutfus. Others disagree. They hold you're not yotze b'shutfus. Either Gemara gave the klal. Gemara in the end of Chulin says the klal. Whatever mitzvah is written meloshim rabim. So some of the achrayim say we don't know how to darshim sukim, and even if the Gemara tells you what the klal is, we don't know how to apply the Gemara's klal. So we have no right to say, it says, kisvo lachem, so you can be yotze in the mitzvah b'shutfus. We don't even know how to apply the Gemara's klal. Okay, so that's the shayla. So the women used to feel excluded. The women always felt bad that the men are filling in oisius in the Sefer Torah. We don't allow the women to fill in oisius because the woman is not a bakshira. So the women wanted to participate. So the women knew how to sew sweaters, how to sew underwear, how to make dresses. So the women wanted to stitch up the Sefer Torah. So in some communities, that was the minute. The women would stitch up the Sefer Torah. So the Pischei Tshuva Yoredei has a long arichas. Whenever he has a long, on his own, it's called the Nachlas Tzvi. He has in a footnote on the bottom of the page of the Pischei Tshuva, has a long arichas. He says, some Rishonim Takas seem to hold that women are only possible for ksiva. Other tikkuni Sefer Torah is good to stitch the parshas together would be okay. But he says we shouldn't permit it because some Rishonim say beferish that women are possible for all tikkuni Sefer Torah. So even to stitch together the areas, we shouldn't allow it. Even to stitch together the tefillin, to sew the top with the bottom, we shouldn't allow the women to do it. So the shayla is, what about kviyas ha-mezuzah? What about the nail? The woman has her own apartment, and she has to have a mezuzah. She can't write the mezuzah. Can she nail the mezuzah on the door? Or does she have to get a man? Does she have to get a man to put the mezuzah? That was already a later machlokes, that the overwhelming majority of opinion was that the women may nail the mezuzah on the door. That's not, there's no din that you need a bar kshira for kviyas ha-mezuzah. There was a minority opinion like that, that a woman cannot even be kaveh le-mezuzah. So that's a shayla on the assumption that the woman cannot even be kaveh le-mezuzah. So let's say the husband doesn't feel well. And he can't put on the tefillin on his own. He's sick in the hospital, sick in bed, he has no koyach. So his wife or his daughter is going to come, she's going to put on the tefillin. So is that acceptable? So the Maram Shik has a whole tshuva, he works with that awkward opinion. That women are possible not only for ksiva, uchzaptam, they're possible for all tikkuni, to stitch up the areas, they're possible to sew together the batim, they're possible. And the women are even possible for the hanochas ha-tfilin, like the women are possible for kviyas ha-mezuzah. That's not the generally accepted opinion. The Pashtus is that he quotes a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, when you have a marriage, so sometimes the husband sets the tone, and sometimes the wife sets the tone. So the Gemara says there was one girl who first married a tzaddik. So when he didn't feel well, she used to put on the tefillin on him. And then the zivik sheni, she married a gangster. So the first husband, hoshe kosheres lo kesher shel tefillin. And the second husband, who was a gangster, hoshe kosheres lo kesher shel muhsin. She helped him tie the sack of money when he made the holdup. When he stole the money from the bank, so she knew how to tie. So she knew how to tie the tefillin, she knew how to tie. So the Maram Shik has a whole discussion. Not even kasheres, kasher shel tefillin. We allow that. We allow the woman to put up. He holds that you shouldn't permit it. Rav Soloveitchik told the story that when he had his a cancer surgery, so he was so weak in the hospital, he wasn't able to. He was clean enough, his body was clean, but he was too weak to put on the tefillin. So he had his daughters and his wife, they would help him put on the tefillin. So he said he didn't think he could say a bracha lo haniach tefillin, because he only said the bracha. He had the kima mitzvah of tefillin. Let's say someone puts a mezuzah on my door. So I have the mitzvah of mezuzah. They have the mitzvah of gmilas chasadim. They did me a teva. But they say the bracha, likvaya mezuzah. I don't say the bracha al mitzvah mezuzah. The only one who says the bracha is the one who does the maisa mitzvah. So he didn't think that he could say the bracha l'niach tefillin. He wasn't able physically to do the hanachas tefillin. He just had the suffix, maybe... I'm saying maybe the daughter should have said the bracha on the echton. He didn't talk about that. He had a suffix. Maybe he should have said the bracha on mitzvah's tefillin. Because the bracha on mitzvah's tefillin is, according to his understanding, was a bracha on the chalois, on the effect that the tefillin has on the person, that it elevates his level of kedusha, the way he quoted from that Rambam in Hilchas Tefillin. So maybe that bracha he should say. That was his suffix. There was a Talmud Chacham. Could it be Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, I think. He used to have a correspondence with the Rav Shover. The different people had correspondence. So I think Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. So I think they printed some of the correspondence in little svarim that are called, very thin svarim, they're called Salmas Yosef, if I'm not mistaken. His name is Yosef Chaim, his name is also Rabbi Yosef Rosen. They were both Yosef. So he has in one of the letters from the Rav Shover a very strange discussion. A child before Bar Mitzvah, so the father's training him to put on tefillin. So the kid is a katan. The kitten before Bar Mitzvah is not a Bar Kshira. So the Ragat Shava assumes that one who's not a Bar Kshira is not only possible for the ksiva, not only possible for the stitching, he's possible for the hanoche. So the kid puts on tefillin and says he's not yotzi anything. So how can the kid say Zokta Bracha Levatola? So the Ragat Shava writes always wild ideas. He's a super genius. So he's too much of a genius. So he says if the father tightens the tefillin, the kid can say the bracha. From Rav Soloveitchik. If the father tightens, the father's bar mitzvah. But if the kid's going to tie the tefillin on his own, the kid can't say the bracha because it's not yotzei, because it's not a bar kshir. That's a very, I would have thought that a katan can even write his own tefillin. A katan's going to wear tefillin b'katnusa. If the katan writes tefillin, he can't wear it b'gadlusa because it was written by La Bar Kshira. But b'katnusa, he can wear the tefillin. But to say the kid puts on a tefillin on his own, I can't say a bracha. That's a pesach. A big chiddush. The Pashto says that it's not so. Rav Soloveitchik, my father came from Europe. My father was brought up in the Vizhnitsa area in Romania. So, father learned in Vizhnitsa. So he came, when he came to America, so he learned in Shiva Sabitsko Chanetz. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was here. And my father came with a regular Kesher Shel Rosh, a square. That's how the Rambam says, Meruba. The Kesher Shel Rosh should be a square. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik made a whole tumult. He made everybody change the kesher shel rosh. You're not yotze if you have a square. It has to be b'tzuras dalet. Rav Soloveitchik also, his son, he wasn't Rav Yosheva Soloveitchik, the one that we learned by, was a little more tolerant than his father. That's it. He mentioned that. He says his father would be here about a different thing. His father was intolerant. He was more tolerant. You have a different opinion, okay. But he always used to recommend to people they should change. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik forced them to change it. And Rabbi Yosheva Soloveitchik recommend you should change the kesher that it should look like a dal. The Rambam writes beferish meruba, a square. So he said the Rambam doesn't mean that. The Rambam means to say that the top bar should be the same length as the side bar. But it doesn't mean that it should be a square. So this is, they held that if you don't have it the dalet, then you're not yotze. There was a big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Nissan Olweil, the one who wrote the Korban Nissan on the bottom of the Rosh. He was a Yekka. So he had a son, Taya. Every so often he quotes a funny German name, Taya Weil. So he has tshuvas from Ataya Vayal, which are printed. So he writes in his tshuva that there are those who said that if you wear tefillin and it has a square, you're not yotze. He says that's quite an exaggeration. He says this dalid was invented in the 1700s. So how can you say that you're not yotze if you made the square? And in fact, you look, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rishonim will give you step by step how to make the kesher. I think the Sefer Ha'Oita, a few Rishonim give you step by step how to make the kesher, and if you follow the instructions, it always comes out to be a square. So that's Beferish. The Rishonim had a square. This was a Soloveitchik production. That you're not yotze if you have a square, it has to be Davka Dalet, and they had those who said like that in the 1700s. Chitz Eliezer also has such a tshuva. He says, how can you say that if it's a square, you're not yotze? He says, that was a recent invention. All the Rishonim give you step by step, they give you the description, how you have to do it. So the way they described it, it's always a square. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Zohar that the Kesher Shel Yad should be touching the bias. What exactly does that mean? So the Avnei Nezer writes that they made a new chumra during his lifetime. The Avnei Nezer died around 100 years ago. They came up with a new chumra during his lifetime. He says, in the earlier generations, they used to have the Kesher Shel Yad touching the bottom part of the Bayis Shel Yad. And in his lifetime, they changed it. It has to touch the top part of the Bayis, not the bottom. The bottom part is called the Titura. The top part is called the bias. So he said, that's a chumra. He says, Mikra din maspik, it's good enough if it touches the bottom part. Bottom part is also called the tefillin. Doesn't necessarily have to touch the top part. The din is that the bias shal yad, the bias shal yad, the both bottom have to be ravua. That's halacha mashim sina, has to be a square. And exactly what has to be a square? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, the bottom of the bias has to be a square. Then the tefiras have to be a square. Then when the bias touches the titura, that part has to be a square. Then the top of the bias has to be a square. You need four squares. The top of the bias protruding, the bottom of the bias when it touches the titura, the tefiras, and the whole bias on the outside. The whole thing should be four squares. Then the Gemara says, not just that the width should be the same as the length. The width is the same length you can have, I think it's called a rhombus, if it won't be four right angles. Each bar will be the same length, but it won't be right angles in the quarters. The Gemara says it has to be right angles. The whole thing has to be ravua. And even when you started off, it had ribua. But from wearing it a lot, so they said the ribua was neskalkel. So by tzitzis, sometimes there's a din of gardume tzitzis. If he started off, the tzitzis had the correct length. And then some of the strings ripped. So the Gemara says under certain circumstances, gardume tchelas, gardume tzitzis are good because it started off the hechsher. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says we don't understand exactly why, but that's the Lashon of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Gadumi tzitzis is a kula, it's acceptable because tzitzis is only tashmishi mitzvah, but tefillin is tashmishi kedusha, so it's mochomer. So there's no hechshava gadumi, even if you started off and the tefillin were kosher, but if it's niskalka later, so it's puzzle, it'll be puzzle. Some of the Achrayim want to say, the width of the Ritzua, how wide the Ritzua has to be, never says in the Gemara. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Shemusha Rabbah, from one of the Sfarim from the days of the Gaonim, has to be, the width has to be, the minimum width has to be kisaora, like the length of a average-sized barley grain. Whenever you buy Ritzua, so they're always very wide, and then after wearing it a couple of months, so the Ritzua will become narrower. So what if when they put the Ritzua and I started wearing it, it had the minimum width? And then after use, the Ritzua shrank and it got narrower. Now it's less than a kisur. So one of the Achrayim writes, one of the Gedolei Achrayim writes, that he thinks that that's okay. Even though tefillin is tashmishi kedusha, the Gemara says, no, dinu gardum. So he says, yeah, but this whole thing is a chumra from the Goyim. Doesn't really say in the Gemara that you need a minimum width of the Ritzua. It's only a chumra sa Goyim. So for that, we can rely that gardum is kosher. The Gemara has a din you have to put on first the shalyad and then the shal rosh. So how much of the shalyad do you put on? They're not allowed to be mafsik in between the shalyad and the shal rosh. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, you just put on one kricha over here that it should hold. That's a trick. How do you do one kricha that it should hold only over here? Rav Moshe used to do like this. He only did like this on Shorach. One krich on over here. He didn't do anything else. Then he put it on the Shorach. Then he did the rest. Then the Magen Avraham quotes from Rav Moshe Kudevero. It's really from the Maharil. From the Maharil. Rav Moshe Kudevero added on the last knesh. So he said, the Maharil says, it's not a hefsik if you keep on putting on more krichas. It's a hemshech of the mitzvah. You're not being mafsik, but davar acher shemichutz the mitzvah's tefillin. It's a hemshech. Just like he gives as a mashal, the Maharil gives a mashal, just like if you perform a bris on Shabbos, so if you cut off basar chayfas raif hataras, so strictly speaking, you've completed the mitzvah, but you're permitted to continue to be mechal Shabbos, to cut more, the basar chayfas miyuto hatorah, because it's a hemshech of the kiyama mitzvah. So the hemshech is also deicha Shabbos. You're permitted to be mechal Shabbos for the hemshech. So here also, this is not considered a hefsik between shalyad and shalosh if you do the rest of the krichas. However, that's what the Maharil says. So that's the common practice. However, the Rav Moshe Kudevero adds on, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Ramak, he was a Talmud of Darizal in Sfat, so he said, but you shouldn't put on the krichas on the finger, that's based on Kabbalah. Why? Because the shalyad is like the kala, and the shalrosh is epistochosin. These are technical terms in Kabbalistic terminology. And if the chosin is not here, how can you say ve'rastech le'yodim? How can you say harayat? Putting the krichas around the finger is like putting the ring on the kala's hand. So if the chosin is not here, so you don't do it. So that's the common practice. People don't do like Rav Moshe, don't do like the Mechaber. They do like the Maharil. They put on all the krichas here, but they don't put all the krichas on the finger. Then the Mishkan Es Yankiv has a tshuva. Mishkan Es Yankiv learned in Balozhin. So that's why in Balozhin that was the practice. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had that practice, and Rav Soloveitchik had that practice. That the Gemara discusses in Menachas and Perek, the end of Akamitz Rabbah, how long does the Ritzua Shalyad have to be? The Gemara says it has to be long enough to wrap around the middle finger three times. So the Mishkan Es Yankiv has a tshuva. There's a machlokes of Rishonim. What does it mean in the Gemara? That's the orech haritzua. That's how long the ritzua has to be. But that's not part of the hanachas tefillin. You just put over here. The yotze hanachas tefillin. The ritzua has to be long enough to be able to do krichas around the finger. Oh no! Some rishonim hold that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah of shalyad. You're not yotze shalyad until you put the krichas on the etzba, and you're not supposed to put on the shorosh before you have on the shalyad. So that was the practice. That was the Mishkan Es Yankiv has this tshuva. Chavetz Chaim personally had that practice. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, they quote, had that practice, and Rav Soloveitchik had that practice. He told us when we learned Hilchos Tefillin, once in Shul, a Balabas noticed that he put on the whole Shalyad before the Shal Rosh. He asked him, by Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. So he didn't want to get involved, so he says, I forgot. That's how he used to, when people would ask him. He had a different nusach for davening for Rosh Hashanah. Change over here, change over there. So he used to have a Balabas had Yortzeit on Rosh Hashanah. He used to daven for an Amid in Maimonides. So the Balabas always said what it said in the Machzen. And Rav Soloveitchik would correct them. No, you got to say this. But Rabbi, my Machzen, it's a misprint. It wasn't a misprint. It's a different nusach. He insisted they have a different nusach. So that was his practice. On Rosh Chodesh, the Mishnah Berurah quotes there are two practices. When should one remove the tefillin? Should you take off on a weekday? The Mechaber says you take off the tefillin after Kaddish Tiskabel, and the Rambam says no, you should wait till the Kaddish after Aleinu. On Rosh Chodesh, so some have the practice that you don't take off the tefillin till after the Kaddish before Musaf, just like you take off the tefillin after the Kaddish after Aleinu. So you don't take off the tefillin until after the Kaddish, right before Musaf. And others insist that not, that the Kaddish before Musaf is not a Kaddish that follows of Nucha Yoimar, the Pesukim of Rechem, it's rather the introduction to Musaf. So you shouldn't be mafsik in between the Kaddish, the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf and the Musaf. So the Mishnah Berurah says like that. More correct, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machlokes, and he thinks more correct is to take off the tefillin before the Kaddish, before Musaf. That was Rav Soloveitchik's practice. He thought you should take off the tefillin before the Kaddish, so the Kaddish should go right into the Musaf. The Maharamshik has a discussion of this. He says, when does the rabbi give the sermon on Shabbos morning? So he says, he remembers that the minhag always used to be the rabbi gave the sermon before Kriyas HaTorah. But then a lot of the Balabatim came to shul late, so they're saying Shmona Esra in front of the rabbi as the rabbi is giving his drasha. So they felt uncomfortable. So he asked the rabbi to hold the drasha after maftir, like we do on Rosh Hashanah. The rabbi holds the sermon after maftir, before Tkiya Shofar. But then the people came late, so they were still davening Shmona Esrei when the rabbi was holding the drasha right after maftir. So they gave him a break, so they moved the drasha later. So they say after Menucha Yamat, so they hold the drasha. So the shaila is, the rabbi is going to hold the drasha after Menucha Yamat. The chazan is going to say Chatzi Kaddish on what? On the drasha. What's the nature of the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf? Is it the introduction to Musaf? So after the rabbi's sermon, you say Chatzi Kaddish and you go into Musaf. So should we say no? The Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf is really following of Menucha Yamat. So whenever the rabbi holds a sermon, whenever the chazan sings Hinei Nihoni Mimas, the share the Matei Ephraim writes this. Rabbi Ephraim is Amal Gol, this wrote his sefer. Matei Ephraim on the din of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So he writes like this, that when the chazan says Hinei Nihoni Mimas, what is going to say Chatzi Kaddish and Hinei? So he should say again Gimel Psukim. He should say softly Benucha Yomer. That's when Rabbi Tendler used to be in his previous rabbanus. So that was the big takana that he introduced. Everybody was talking about it at that time. Used to be a rabbi in a shul in Great Neck. So he introduced this takana that after he would finish the sermon on Shabbos morning, everybody would say together, Menucha Yomer, again, a second time, in order that the Kaddish should go on Menucha Yomer. So that's the big machlokes in Achrayim, whether the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf is the introduction to Musaf. So it doesn't matter what happened before, the rabbi can give a sermon, the chazan can say here in the Ani Mimasa. No, the Chatzi Kaddish really belongs to the Menucha Yomer. So that's the shaila with the Amish Chodesh, when should the people take off the tefillin? Okay, tomorrow we have I think I'll give this year from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Hilchas Pesukah de Zimra. Try to cover everything in an hour. Okay.